and welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and my passion is to help you get to that wonderful moment when you can jump up and down and say, yes, I'm in, and perhaps give a few high fives along the way. Now, I recently attended the MBA Tour event in Los Angeles, and as frequently happens at such events, I met a few people who are highly accomplished with 10 to 15 years of full-time work experience, including international management experience. They were really interested in a full-time MBA program and were unenthusiastically considering part-time or part-time executive MBA programs because they didn't think they could get into the full-time ones. I suggested they consider a Sloan Fellows program, and in each case, the response was, what's that? And when I told them and described the program, they said, gee, I really need to look at that more closely. So in my unending efforts to educate middle managers considering an MBA about one of the best-kept secrets in MBA-dom, I have invited the director of MIT's Sloan Fellows program to join us today. And before I start my conversation with him, I also want to remind you of a relatively new feature here. We invite your questions. If you have an admissions-related question, just go to the show notes at info.accepted.com/66, and you will see a widget that will allow you to leave an audio message in which you can ask your question. You can speak using your computer mic or your phone. You can also send me questions via email at questions@accepted.com. If your question is chosen, I'll ask and answer it on the show. Now to our special guest, Stephen Sacca, director of the MIT Sloan Fellows Program in Innovation and Global Leadership, and we're going to explore in the course of our conversation exactly why it has that long name. I have interviewed Stephen in the past for our blog, but I'm thrilled that I can now introduce him to our podcast listeners. Steve earned his MS in Management from the Sloan Fellows Program in 1990 and has been the director of MIT Sloan Fellows Program since 2000. Steve, I'm so pleased to have you on the show. Thank you for coming.
Linda, thank you so much today for having me here. It's a pleasure, and we've always appreciated the long and productive partnership we have with Accepted.com.
Thank you. Now, for those people, like the people I met at the MBA tour, who are not that familiar with the MIT Sloan Fellows Program, can you briefly describe what is it and whom is it for?
Certainly. Thank you. Well, the program started in 1931 when Alfred P. Sloan himself came to MIT and told MIT that he had a problem that he wanted some help with. And he was a graduate from the engineering school here. And MIT Sloan, before it was MIT Sloan, but the School of Management, was interested in what he had to say. And he said he had really talented engineers or technical people that he knew could do more. And he saw them working and knew they could take on increased roles of leadership and responsibility, but he didn't know how to do that, and could MIT help? And so that's how the program started in 1931, and here we are 84 years later with
wow.
Much of the same recipe that Alfred P. Sloan was looking for, taking exceptionally motivated, bright and outstanding leaders and high potential individuals, give them an opportunity to reflect for a year and think about themselves, their role in the world itself, and then go back in a way that's going to give them a chance to meet their full potential as leaders in the following years of their career. So that's the Sloan Fellows Program in a nutshell. It's a 12-month residential program. We seek to unplug people from their life as they know it and plug them into a vibrant and robust ecosystem here at MIT for a year.
Okay. Now, what is the typical level of experience of the MIT Sloan Fellows?
Mm-hmm. Well, we require a minimum of 10 years of experience. Mm-hmm. The average is 14 to 15 years, depending on the year. But we are looking for people that are significantly experienced to be able to really draw on those experiences while they're here at MIT. My own experience at MIT, I felt very much like I was outside of myself looking in, if you didn't know what I mean by that, but really gave me that external perspective that gave me a lot of depth, clarity into my own motivation of what's important to me and how to tap into that.
Great. Now, can you give us also an overview of the program? Like, how does it start? What is the year like?
Certainly. Well, we begin the year in June and end in June. In fact, the incoming class in any given year is coming the day before the current class graduates. So it's a full 12-month program. And we have three terms. The summer term is a lockstep term. There's seven full-term courses delivered in 12 weeks. Very intensive.
Yeah.
Most of the work is done in study groups of five people. We have very diverse groups that we do put together. It's the only group during the course of the year where fellows don't have a choice, and we do that, again, for the interest of, in diversity. So the summer is really about getting people comfortable with being a student again, getting them up to speed in terms of some of the basic management courses, from finance, marketing, accounting, statistics, and so forth, and also building a cohort. And then the fall and the spring terms are very different flavors as well, where in the fall there's about half of the courses are core courses, and about the other half are electives that people can take anywhere at Sloan, at any one of the other four schools that make up MIT, and at Harvard, the business school, and at the Kennedy School of Government. The spring has even fewer core courses, more electives, gives people, again, more flexibility, which is a key component of the program all the way through. We then have the group through some exercises. We enter the world in June of the following year. It is residential. You are a student for a year. It's an executive-focused program, but it's not in the same sense an executive MBA. You are a student, and you'll be living as a student for the year. The integration of the fellows into the MIT Sloan community. We have eight other programs, and the greater MIT is a major focus of what we do. So over the course of the summer, we're doing a lot to integrate and expose the fellows to all of the breadth and depth of the Institute so they know how to take full advantage of the Institute during their year.
Great. All right. Thank you. That gives an excellent overview, actually. Now, I noticed when I was preparing for the podcast that you have an April and a June orientation. Is the April one in residence also, or is that a long-distance one online? I mean, and I assume the June one is in residence.
Yes. It's a unique feature of the program and one that's been a tradition for many, many years, and we think it's whoever designed it, and it was well before my time, I think did an outstanding job to understand the purpose of April orientation. That is in residence. We are asking all accepted candidates to come and spend a week with us. It's usually the second or third week in April. And that is an important week for getting some of the administration done, house hunting, if you will, and looking at schools for children, programs, and for children and so forth, families. But it's also getting comfortable with the program. We really want people to understand what it is from a very hands-on approach the year is. And so the current class serves as the host, and we have a number of sessions with the current fellows, both formal and informal sessions in the evening and during the day, typically in small groups so that people can acclimate. We have academic sessions during the course of the week, where we have faculty coming in so that they can experience the academic session and we can talk about it. And then there's a fair amount of celebration. It's when the culture from this program is steeped in culture, and it's when the culture does transfer from one class to the other. Hmm. And so it is a full week. We ask partners to come as well. Typically there's 80 to 90% participation, which is phenomenal. And it really does launch the program in many, many respects. People return for 6 weeks and clean up and sort of close up their life or the chapter of the life as they know it, and then they're coming back toward the end of May. June orientation is the very first activity of the residential component of the program. It's a one-week program where we really talk about and have two basic purposes. The first is to convey the three pillars of the program, which, as you referenced, rightly so, our long name. So the three pillars of the program are leadership, innovation, and global perspective. And we spend time during that week with leading faculty and deans who are responsible for some of those topics here at the Sloan School to present at a very high level what those mean to the program and to the individual over the course of the year. The other part of the program is, or the week of June orientation is spent in team building. And we do a number of team building exercises, both at MIT. We go off-site. Mm-hmm. We're building rafts in lakes together and all sorts of things that help individuals understand the composition of their own team and how to work most effectively in that. And then we begin the week after that with the summer term core courses.
Great. Now, you alluded to I mentioned the full name of the program when I was introducing you. You alluded to it a minute ago, and I know that a few years ago, the name of the program was changed to include In Innovation and Global Leadership. Let's go through each of those three components. And what about the Sloan Fellows program teaches? Let's start first with the last word, leadership. How do the participants study leadership, especially since you are generally dealing with mature individuals who typically already have leadership or at least management experience?
Excellent question. Yeah. So out of those three pillars, leadership in some ways serves as the central theme and the central component of the program, because we are preparing people for increased roles of responsibility and leadership in a range of different organizations, from government, private, for-profit, non-profit, and around the globe. So leadership is the central component, and we start that with a 360. In fact, before fellows come, they're spending some time identifying individuals within their network, typically within the organization that they're most recently with, to conduct a 360. That could be so that's an assessment of management leadership competencies, and that's the 360 is done by virtue of asking supervisors, subordinates, peers, and, as we say, external clients or people outside of an organization to provide perspectives on the individual. The individual also answers those questions. They receive that feedback in the first 10 days or so of the program, along with introduction to a coach. They'll have 5 to 6 hours of coaching throughout the year with an executive coach, a professional coach, that's going to help them understand themselves better and understand the context of the program. So we basically ask three questions in the leadership component over the course of the year. What is leadership? So that's a theoretical component that the faculty take people through in various core courses. What kind of leader am I? That's the 360 and the associated coaching. And then how do I develop as a leader? So these three basic questions really do form the basis for our leadership component. And so that's giving you tools, frameworks, courses to help and other activities to develop the full potential of the individual. So that the leadership component is throughout the year. There's three core courses devoted to leadership in addition to a number of courses dedicated to that, short and longer-term courses. And we're excited to have Professor Hal Gregerson with us. He's recently from East NCIAD, and he's now joined MIT Sloan. He's the executive director of the MIT Leadership Center, and he will be a key component of our leadership development program going forward within the Sloan Fellows program.
Okay.
And in fact, we'll be teaching the final course. So that's leadership. But that's leadership component. And then in terms of innovation, we want people to become champions of innovation, demystify the innovation process, and really understand how they can identify in any type of an organization how innovation can work to the best advantage of the organization. And we've just recently had a hackathon with the fellows and a full day of innovation activities every Wednesday during the summer. We are not having regular classes and using that to highlight different parts. On the global perspective, for Professor Simon Johnson, who was the former chief economist of the IMF and is a fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics in Washington, D.C., does lead the global perspective component of the program, and he has an excellent, he's one of our most profound and prolific bloggers at MIT Sloan. And inculcates the fellows with a terrific global perspective. And so these three are the overlay of all of the various core courses we have. But really, we want people to do is to continually revisit these three pillars and say, this is why I'm here, to develop as a leader, to become a champion of innovation, and to really obtain a definitive global perspective.
Great. Thank you. Now, it seems to me from your description of the program, and I'd like to ask the question anyways, is there a lot of interaction between fellows, full-time MBA students, and the EMBA, the more traditional EMBA students at MIT?
Yes. Yes, most definitively. Our dean, David Schmidlein, when he came 7 or 8 years ago now, really looked at developing a portfolio of programs at the MIT Sloan School that are of relevance to a wide range of people at different stages of their life with different interests and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so we would be foolish not to take advantage of that diversity that exists throughout all of these programs. So while the core courses are Sloan Fellows only, the electives that a Sloan Fellow can take are fully integrated with all members of other programs here. And there are teams that are built during the electives that have many of the programs represented. We have a 100K competition. Entrepreneurial competition, and those frequently are mixed teams. We have a reference to one Sloan here, and what the emphasis of that is to integrate and to make sure that all of the programs and the resources within those programs are exchanged and complement one another through a range of interactions. Sloan Fellows are the most senior of the residential programs we have, and so they often serve in informal and sometimes more formal mentor roles with other students as well.
Great.
So it's we have an EMBA program here, and obviously they come in every 3 weeks, but we do take the opportunity, because it's a similar profile of individuals, to have a frequent exchange with the EMBAs.
Great. Thank you. Now, you know, we were talking a minute ago, and you said that fellows have to have at least 10 years of full-time work experience, and that the average is 14, 15 years. I also know that fellows came last year from 34 different countries. Is there any common denominator among the fellows? And if yes, what is it?
Yes, it is. Above average motivation is really a drive for leadership is what we seek, and that is the common denominator that I think binds people. The intellectual capacity of the people that are successful is evident, and so it really is looking at diversity of individuals and what can they bring that is absolutely unique. We expect every successful candidate to be a unique point on a continuum of the Sloan Fellows class. And so as people prepare applications, understanding that that they are unique, that they have unique talents, interests, experiences, let us know that, because that's going to help differentiate the individual among other people in the candidate pool, and help us and themselves to become a diverse program. What people say to us is they're coming for leadership, and they're coming for the diversity that is represented. This year we have a high of 35 countries and 34 different industries.
Got it.
Represented.
That's a lot. That's a lot of diversity there. It's about a class of about 100 people, right?
118 this year. It's about 120 that we go for from year to year.
Okay. What are I noticed that there are a lot of trips built into the curriculum. Could you, again, just briefly give us an overview of the trips
and
why they are important and not just fun?
Yes, they are. No, not at all. They're an integral part. They are graded. They are a requirement for the program. So we have these three pillars. I'll come back to those, leadership, innovation, and global perspective. And what we have done is we've keyed a trip to each one of those three pillars. So in the fall term, when there's two leadership courses going on, there's coaching going on, there's work on the 360 and results and what they want to do with those. So we conclude the year with a trip to New York in December. The name of the trip is Lens on Leadership, and we're talking to a diverse group of leaders that represent hopefully the diversity of the cohort itself, from the United Nations to the Stock Exchange to some of to General Electric and so forth. So we're traversing the city and talking to people about leadership, their own leadership experiences. These are all closed-door, no-attribution sessions, and they're phenomenal learning experiences for fellows to really understand the applied side of leadership. So then in California is in March. It's at the conclusion of the first half of our spring term, when there is a course, a core course on innovation. So it's linked to that course, and we'll go to Silicon Valley and to San Francisco area. The theme of that trip is the power of innovation. And we're really looking at how do organizations think about it, how do they master it and leverage innovation for maximum advantage. And then we are concluding the year, and it's new this year, with a trip to Washington, D.C. The name of the theme of that is Global Controversies. We will be in Washington, and on each one of those, the 4 or 5 days that we're in Washington, we're going to have a theme, for example, geopolitics. And we'll spend the day talking about geopolitics, listening to leaders in that area, and formulating some of our own ideas. The next might be the world financial structure. Does it work? And we'll spend a day looking and talking to a number of different experts and authorities in both the government and the private sector in a range of these topics. It's also a time in that particular trip when the class is determining how they're going to interact going forward. And we spend a lot of time thinking, you built this tremendous network over the year. How are you going to get maximum leverage and sustainability from it? And we actually conclude that trip. We return to the New England area, and we go away. We invite the entire community, so that's fellows and families, for a weekend away to really conclude the entire year. We go to the Mount Washington Hotel, Brenton Woods, which is known for in 1947 for the IMF agreement, and that's a fitting place for us to conclude the year. It's to give thanks to the fellows for their engagement, to the families for their support of fellows throughout the year, and also to celebrate their own enrichment, because we want enrichment to come to every single member of a small fellows family, not just the fellows. So those are the three trips linked very much to the three pillars, to the core courses, and to the themes of the program. Very serious trips.
Great. Now, there used to be a global trip, and you decided not to
do that?
That's
right. So after 64 years, we have retired that trip. And we've done that for a couple of reasons. One, the composition of the fellows class has changed. When those trips were initiated in the late 50s, this program was 100% international. Now about 70% international. The U.S. is an international destination for many of the fellows. And with a larger size, just the logistics of moving 35 countries around to one or two or three countries can prove challenging. And the world has changed. When we first started the trips internationally, no other program was doing, no other school. And it's now become more commonplace. So innovation's in our name, and so we really wanted to do practice that ourselves, and thought that we wanted to try something different. In terms of international experiences during the year, fellows have retain a number of options, both in January as part of one of our action learning programs, right, where they travel and spend time with an organization that has a real need and has been asked has asked MIT for assistance in that. So those are our lab courses or action learning, as well as what we call trips and treks, which happen during January and March. And that's the entire Sloan community that organizes trips to a number of different locations. So there's still possibilities. We've decided to keep the fellows in the U.S. for the full year. You can imagine that in today's world, and it's not without some regret that I say this, is that it's harder to move people around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
And that's the reality. It feels to me like we're going backwards a little bit, but hopefully that may change.
I hope so, too. Is the Sloan Fellows Program appropriate to potential fellows who want to change professional direction, careers?
Actually not.
Okay.
In a mid-career program, while this program imparts incredible experiences, much of the experience and the impact is on the individual, understanding oneself, getting an update on the world, and then really using the year to understand what the best path forward, the role of the individual in the world going forward, and an organization, a government, and so forth. So for us, you wouldn't really want to bank that a one-year program is going to prepare you to change careers. The people, in fact, the market or the world looks at what people have done, and that's what we believe, rather than the particular courses. There's a tremendous amount of learning going on in this program, but it's not the same as you might have with a different profile, or perhaps a less experienced profile. So we do not encourage people that are seeking to use the program to have a significant career change, and that's different from even our own MBA program, our two-year MBA program. It's much more like that. But at a mid-career stage, that would be, we believe, not in the individual's best interest to try to use this as that leverage point, nor can we actually guarantee that that would happen. And the market will actually make the assessment, we feel, on an individual's capability, typically based on their professional career history as opposed to an academic program.
Right. But this is not a career change, actually. It would fit in exactly what you're saying. Serial entrepreneurs, somebody who's mm-hmm. started a company, built it up, sold it, and kind of feels like I want to improve my skills. I want the kind of
training. We have many people,
yeah.
10 to 15% of the people in any given year, and that's what makes it so interesting. We've got this interesting mix of corporate sponsored. It's almost 40% this year, mm-hmm. which is quite high even for our EMBA program. And then we have about 10 to 15% entrepreneurs. So these are people,
right,
just as you explained. They've built and sold maybe a $5 million company, and they want to do something at $25 million. And they feel like they need to be able to use the year to calibrate and recalibrate it to get to that point, using and leveraging what it is they know.
Right.
And then what they've learned.
Well, I think by definition, almost a serial entrepreneur, or somebody who's done it and wants to do it again, is not really a career changer. They are,
right.
Yeah. So that it fits exactly what you're
saying. Applying their skills to another venture and another idea. And MIT loves people that have a lot of great ideas and enthusiasm and experience.
Right.
And it's just a great environment. The ecosystem here in the Kendall Square area is just alive with entrepreneurs, and we tap into that network.
Great. Now, you have directed the Sloan Fellows Program for approximately 14 years. What is the most common feedback you receive from fellows a year or two after they graduate?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's returning to the bell-shaped curve, sometimes they say.
Okay.
And just coming from a supercharged year where, again, the collective spirit and esprit de corps, both within the program and here in the MIT ecosystem, is extraordinary. And you moved, and I know I felt this, I moved from right within 2 weeks of graduation, I was leading a development program in Pakistan, $30 million program, and I really was shocked by the slowness of the pace of life, having been spent a year at MIT. But it takes a little bit to calibrate. But people normally talk about the impact on the individual and how they see the world differently. And there's a very short quotation that I'm going to mention, which is it's in our new brochure, but it's from a candidate from India. He's now a chief risk and compliance officer at Infosys in Bangalore. He says, "I think of transformation as a complete change of mindset, and transformational is what this year has been for me. It has reshaped my perspectives about life, professional and personal, and helped me overcome my inhibitions. It made me realize the need for change and how to bring it about." So transformation is a word that we were happy to have other people use. We don't tend to describe it ourselves, but we do believe that it's a common word that people give us 1 or 2 years out, that they're thinking, acting differently, and they attribute it to the experience here. And again, it's not the book knowledge only that makes that difference. It's that being unplugged and looking at oneself in the context of high-performing peers in an area where that sort of challenging intellectual capacity is part of our day and really creates a certain tone and fitness, if you will, to the mind and the individual. I think that that is something that people that don't take the opportunity to take a year away from their life as they know it and invest is extraordinary. David Hess, it's Dan Hess, who's a Sloan Fellow from 1989, and he's CEO of Sprint. Mm-hmm. And he says the value proposition is pretty straightforward. In a 40-year career, 1 year away from the office is insignificant. But in terms of professional ROI, the value is enormous. Mm-hmm. And I was a different executive post-Sloan Fellows. I could have never achieved what I have without that year. And he's an alum we're very proud of in terms of the turnaround that he's done, not only at Sprint, but in a range of other organizations. So I think, in some ways, both of those quotes summarize both the transformative nature and the fact that 1 year away is actually not the opportunity cost is something people have to assess on an individual basis. But the impact that it can have for the vast, vast majority of people in that 1 year is more than offsets any of their opportunity cost options or other opportunities.
Okay. And then given that this is a podcast dedicated to admissions, what advice would you give potential Sloan Fellows who are planning to apply for the 2015 entering class?
Yeah. It would be the 15-16.
Right, entering in 2015, exactly.
Yes, yeah, thanks. I'm talking to those candidates every day. I have an opportunity to. Those people that are interested, and if you are interested, if people are interested, they should register on our website and clicking on the globe icon that says Get Started on it. But in terms of admissions, the essays are extraordinarily important to us, and the recommendations, as anything. GMAT is required unless an individual can tell us that they've satisfied some academic requirements, or most of these related to algebra, calculus, and so forth. But the admissions process itself is pretty straightforward, but it just requires a fair amount of discipline to prepare those applications. And we understand the essays are not necessarily straightforward, that we don't prepare them to be trick questions at all, but they do require a lot of thought. And that's what we ask people to do is invest in that. For the recommenders, they should be very familiar with the program, that this is not an MBA program per se. It's an MBA degree that's conferred, but it's really about leadership, and so that we could benefit the most from hearing from the candidate in the context of that perspective from our recommenders. So, we travel around the world. We have webinars. We'll be starting next week And our website has on the schedule for our visits around the world and the webinars. And we'll be doing that from August right through to November.
Great. A couple of questions just, and I didn't see this on the site. It might be there and I might have missed it. What is the average GMAT for your incoming fellows?
For those people that present, it's in the 670 range.
Okay.
The 650, if it's below 650, we would want to have a conversation.
Okay. And when are you already starting to review applications, or when will you start and when will you end?
Well, our applications are not up. We'll be going live on our application next week.
Okay.
At the end of next week.
Okay.
Our first deadline will be in mid-November, and the second deadline will be for in sort of mid-January or so.
Okay.
People are free to, as soon as we open up our application link, to start the application process, and certainly if we have people register, that's the best way for us to get to know people.
Right.
And if when the person registers, admissions representatives review all of those, and we reach out to those people that most, based on the information we've received, most closely come to some of the profile we seek, and then we engage in a conversation from them.
Right. Well, today is July 31st, and this will probably get posted July 7th. So by the time it's posted, if I understand you correctly, the application should already be live. So actually,
yeah, that's August 7th.
August 7th. I'm sorry. August 7th.
Yes, it should be posted by about then and ready to go.
Okay, great. So listeners who are interested can go directly to MIT Sloan and get the information, and if they're really interested, start on the application. Stephen, I've really enjoyed reconnecting with you today and exploring once again the Sloan Fellows Program, albeit in a slightly different medium than previously. Thank you very much for being here. However,
well, Linda, thank you for the time and the opportunity. It's always a pleasure.
You're most welcome. I think it's time to bring this interview to a close. Where can a listener learn more? Can you just briefly tell us the URL for the MIT Sloan Fellows Program in Innovation and Global Leadership? And we'll include that.
MIT Sloan, all one word, .mit.edu/fellows.
Great.
Get you to our main site, or just as the MIT Sloan site, and then it's clearly marked on our program.
Great. We'll include a link in the show notes at info.exhibit.com/66, the MIT Sloan Fellows Program. Listener, and again, Steve, thank you. Listener, thank you, too, for joining Stephen Saka and me for our 66th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so will help us spread the word about Admission Straight Talk, because iTunes will rank AST more prominently if it has more reviews, especially if it has 5-star reviews. So if you think it deserves those 5 stars, please let iTunes know. And once again, thank you very, very much. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.